SCC Historical Society Oral History Project by Richard Rowe of Alan Mostoff, former director of the Division of Investment Management of the Securities and Exchange Commission. The interview is taking place at approximately 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 30th. Mr. Mostoff's office is going to be law firm Decker, 1725 I Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. When and why did you decide to come to the Securities and Exchange Commission?
I always thought in law school, and as I was leaving law school and looking for employment, that government service would be a good step and the right thing to do, so giving something back to myself for the service. Said that I didn't do that. I went and joined a private law firm in New York. Continue to feel that it would be nice to be part of the service. At the same time, I had campaigned, my wife and I, Alice and I, campaigned for Kennedy, and Washington seemed to be a very exciting place to be. I felt that I wanted to be part of it in some way. The securities markets seemed to be interesting, although I certainly did not study securities law in law school. There was a lot going on that was discussed in the media, investigation of the American Stock Exchange, and then all of a sudden there was some kind of special exercise going on at the SEC that was being formed that Congress had requested. Special study of securities markets. As I followed that in the newspaper, I saw that the head of the special study was going to be a man named Wilton Cohen, who had worked at the SEC in the early 40s. I had been working at the time for O'Malley, Chase O'Donnell, and Dwyer, and I knew that partner I was closest with, Jack O'Donnell, the litigator, had worked at the SEC at the same time. So one day I went in to see Jack and said, do you know Milton Cohen? He said, oh, sure, we're friends. And I said, could you put a new work for me? Would you give me a leave of absence for a year? And he said, sure. And so I went to the SEC for 1 year to do a special study.
And your year was up. Study then?
Well, it was a year turned to be a year and a half before the study was over. And then Chairman Carey, then Chairman Bill Carey, called a number of people in for several meetings with him to encourage them to stay on the staff. And I was one of those, I guess. And he asked me where I would like. I did say where I would like to serve. And I said, well, I'm a lawyer. The lawyers will be in the council office. So if you can make a job for collegiality of the agency was fabulous. The sense of mission was really stimulating, and I really wanted to continue to be part of the agency. So he did the right thing.
And you ended up in the general counsel's office?
I ended up in the general counsel's office in the middle of 1963, I suppose. And
still with general counsel at that time?
Dick Phillips was my boss, or supervisor, in fact, I was supervisor. I remember one session working on a brief and sitting down with Dick Phillips and Dick telling me how it should be done. But in any event, I worked in the office. 64, the end of 64, I guess. reduced strength put into the division, and he persuaded Jack Dudley to move to the division as assistant director, and he asked me if I would move to the division as a special counsel, which at that point was an illustrious title. As you see now, at the beginning of the litigation, getting that to the Supreme Court. I thought that was a big deal.
Not only was it an illustrious position, but it probably paid $1,000 or $2 more than everybody else was getting. Wasn't very much.
That's right.
Before we leave the general counsel, did you work on briefs on any big report cases?
Are there any major cases? My major achievements, I had came up with a couple of suggestions that I got a little suggestion for actually from the commission. Big case I worked on, I don't remember the name of it, but it was, I thought it was kind of fabulous coup. The issue was whether a company was subject to the investigator for things. So I learned a little bit about the investigator. And the company claimed it was not because it was registered with the Interstate Commerce Commission. It was an exemption of the act. Companies that are regulated. The idea that there might be a difference between registration and regulation, This was, I think, a company that was a one-time trucking company, but was appeared to be an investment. And so I went to the files of the ICC and looked for the precedent. So I came up with some good stuff, and the commission took the position of why it was regulated, and we were successful.
Well, that demonstrates the imagined for the general counsel's office, sir, and privately now. But then you went down to what was then the Division of Corporate Regulation.
Correct.
Special counsel.
Yes.
Saul Friedman was the director. Jack Dudley, who I remember, was the assistant director.
Associate
director. And
Harold Fines was an associate director, assistant director. And then they brought Harold Lee down to. Enhanced the disclosure process. He was an associate director in court, then he moved to the court regulation.
And as a special counsel in corporate regulation, what did you do there?
I was assigned to a branch and was the chief lawyer in the branch. Branch chief was Joe Freeman, so he and I were co-equal colleagues. But I was almost immediately pulled into special assignments. Very quickly, I got into the question of whether an investment advisor to a fund could profit from the transfer of the advisor's business by selling it to another advisor or third party. Or whether that money belonged to the fund itself. The commission had taken the position unsuccessful. critical was for the staff to find the right case to raise the issue again. And I was the right guy to find the right case. And so I did. I found the right case. It was called People's Security Technologies. Because of what happened. And we developed the fact pattern and the vision and we took it up to the commission with a recommendation from the commission on a lawsuit. And we made it go and met his nemesis in the form of our own Woodside. Wouldn't let it happen. It was a stalemate. And the commission did nothing. And then at around that time, the nail in the coffin, so to speak, was effectuated by Lycus when they went public. And so the advisor capitalized on its fiduciary office arguably by selling the officer in public. And the commission sort of backed away from all of that. And then if you want to skip forward, the commission in 1966 in public policy report, Barney had a lot of input on this, made it clear that the commission believed that an advisor should not profit from the sale of this fiduciary office. The commission also made it clear that it believed that an advisor should be able to be compensated for his or its entrepreneurial efforts. So the commission was typically walking on this issue. And then nothing further happened as the industry continued to increase transactions until the Roosevelt against Black decision in 1975, when Judge Fredley said it can't be done. And at that point, Bill Casey was the chairman. I was at the Division Director, and Bill Casey said, this is terrible. We have to reverse it. So there I was in a position where we had to come up with something reversing Judge Fredley and reversing the position that many and Leonard Lyman and a host of other people really wanted the commission to take in the early 60s. And we ended up doing that with changes to the investment. There were
activities. It's still a regulated process, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not totally free.
The regulation is really very limited. What it involves now is essentially you can transfer the fiduciary office and make a profit from it as long as you impose no due burden on the fund, whatever that means. It doesn't mean that you can't make money. It just means the fund can't protect it immediately. It's subject to an advisory increase. And to assure that that doesn't happen for a period of 3 years after the transaction, at least 75% of the board of the new fund has to be independent before the old one is the advisor. And we know how important the Democrats are.
They're becoming more and more important.
Yes.
Or at least more attention is focused. So you've got a special assignment. Many of the commission in those days had vital specific slots and ended up special assignments, which...
But I still kept the branch responsibilities. And then and that continued hard until I through the time that I was assistant director. But at some point, fairly early on in my career as a senior person of the division, in the middle 60s, I became involved in the commission's investigation of the fund of funds in IRS. That became an all-consuming special project on top of the regular branch responsibilities. That was quite an experience.
That was Mr. Cowart and a few others.
Yes, Cowart was the senior in-house lawyer. And of course, I had great connections. He worked with the law school for those. Very, very bright guy. And very qualified with his people.
They would sincerely want to be rich.
That's right.
And try to improve. Well, those are exciting assignments. Again, the variety of work that you've got from the commission today, we're there, notwithstanding the pressure formal assignment was. It was something that kept a lot of us there.
Sure. occasionally, you know, just occasionally, it wasn't more than or I got their phone call or a letter, realized
tax bill,
same thanks. So it was gratifying.
Yes. How you were also getting awards from the commission for your imaginative.
Well, some.
Why did the Division of Corporate Regulation become the Division of Investment Management?
In 1972, Bill Casey decided to reorganize the commission. And as part of that, the reorganization that happened. As I recall, the reorganization involved corporate regulations went through, and the corporate regulation part of it, the Road Company Act, and also some Chapter 10 work was put into a separate group, and the former head of the division of corporate regulations, so Freeman was asked to continue in that capacity only. So we sort of did it. The 35 Act was she was great to come. So we took that on. And that left the entire investment management regulatory program. And Casey added to that the investment advisor, added to the investment company regulatory program, the investment advisor regulatory program, which had been in addition to trading in the markets. And then took from the division, made a great mistake, they could take it from the division disclosure responsibility for investment managers, moving it to corporate. So the division was purely investment management regulation. And in fact, that's what was concerned was. I, to be technically correct, I was the first, and I am the only director ever of the Division of Investment Management Regulation. That's where I left the division. I changed my name.
Yes, well do I remember the transfer of the disclosure branches to the State Corporation Finance. As an associate director, I have responsibility for overseeing an operation which I didn't understand. And if it wasn't for a young woman, Carolyn Lewis, who educated me, or at least held my hand when I had to make decisions, so I don't know what would have done, but eventually,
leaving the commission. I have two cases of the first time, and he has a consulting center in Mexico. I got a call in the morning from Chairman Casey saying, good morning. I said, this is Bill Casey. I said, oh, yes, yes. I said, fine. We're doing a reorganization.
I had a similar conversation because I had been running the enforcement shop in Corporation Finance, but there was no other question as to when the disclosure policy changed. During your time with investment management under its various names, there were studies going on about the industry.
Thank you. Special studies. We held public hearings on several matters that were really important, like the way in which mutual funds are sold and mutual fund distribution, and published a report recommending that Section 22B of the Investment Company Act be repealed in one way or another. It's not necessarily exactly evident. That has never happened as a matter of law or regulation, but as a matter of business practice, as well, largely doesn't exist. Major rearguard action with the commission. there, the division didn't do such a great job. We believe that there really was a clear case of property needed to be regulated, and they did go and look at the terms of the investment of the act as it was the character of the litigation.
But litigation, it's time to resolve it.
It's a great book. Not a number of life. But we had a tough time because we were in the commission. But Jake Stewart said, you know, helping us reduce the rental, but I couldn't get it over hand before. He felt, and the general counsel was better legally and defensible than the program of law enforcement, which was great. You know, I was hoping for, I needed reinforcements on this. And remastered to the commission. And then I remember after the distribution hearings, were concluded in the mid-70s, participating in a meeting with the former chairman of the SEC, who was at that point the chairman of the IDS Mutual Fund, Ken College, where he was seeking help from the commission. The proposal was that redemption and something needed to be done through, and having a role, something needed to be done through the growth of the business position. I remember after the commission meeting, being visited by Eric Locke outside, as the commissioner, and he said, you know, we've got to do something here. And I said, you're right. And we started. Was in the old days a great source of contention with foreign regulators and foreign investment managers who had what they put a good price on it. But now, because of those tax laws, meaning they're not so attractive, and because their track records are not that great, because they've got other ways to get around it anyway, it's no longer such a big issue. It's a practice, although legally it's still there. Yes, that in today's world, if the right fund were to come along with a substantial number of
investment company industry always had a strong industry association.
I thought they were very good. I worked on a special study with David Silver, who was at the time under the division director, and before then he was the general counsel of the investment organization, and then he became the head of it. Before that, the president of the institute was Tony Robert Oldenburg, who was a really
that certain kinds of regulation were good for the industry, help promote the industry. They weren't always the dog in the manger of the commission. In fact, they might used to be proactive.
Yes, I think there's much more that publicly today was that. But then there wasn't. If they had been given the choice of repealing the industrial review of the 1947 Social Market by acting the amendments, I think they would have been unanimous. I think that the industry view generally was that regulation would be a good thing for the industry, avoided the monopolies, and reasonably well managed. Generally, prospering, as I mentioned before, there were times when there were an protection center, there was an extraordinary and the long run, became part of the success.
No.
There are still people in the industry today who would like to put it on that side.
But there are others who think that regulation, at least the modicum of regulation, legitimizes an industry.
Yes.
In the eyes of the people who are trying to do it. During your tenure in the division, there were people working with you and for you who, those of us in other divisions, sort of thought of as characters. You mentioned Alan Rosenblatt. Character with Alan is a terrific lawyer with an encyclopedic knowledge of the act. Came up with some interesting legal theories or responses to requests for interpretation. Were there other people like that?
Well, the division and the commission was a chocolate, but it was joined still. A lot of those numbers, quality people that come and make a career and slow down an hour of their days. Some of them had their models, had a good sense of perspective, new president, were dedicated to the public interest, had been disappointed in their career paths, were still loyal troopers, servants, and supportive of the young people like us. Who in the division, I'm sure at least somebody else, Harold Sweetwood was really a very good guy. I spent as well. Paul Stelter, a financial analyst, going back to the employees. Saul Friedman, Arnold Klein, who's in the diet. One of the wonderful people who are dedicated to the mission. Police came in to, in a way, to try to bring sanity, as he is, I'm sure he thought was necessary to some of the crazy regulatory things that Saul had to do. But was quickly converted and was a good trooper.
What were the relationships like with the other division offices in the commission?
Well, investment management in my day was not too many people wanted to work there, and it wasn't where the action was. The action was for him. Future as a young lawyer and the young world remain very important. The action was as enforcement came to be more significant enforcement. We wanted to regulate an industry that was the commission and the control, which is where the commission was viewing. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't viewed by some people as the greatest. It didn't get the highest level of attention system from commissioners. The good part of that is that speaking of this book, relations with the other divisions. I think it's fair to say that the commission was very, very collegial, but that secondly, everyone in the commission thinks that he or she is stronger than anyone else. That's probably the case today, it's probably the case everywhere. I say that, and caveat, because I know that you think that your partners are smarter than you are. I certainly think the same thing here. I've always felt, you know, the people around or me or it's not as healthy to have quite a few people around you, but nonetheless, when you're in a situation like the commission, which is divided into divisions, there tends to be, I think, some competition. And there's competition for recruiting, there's competition getting shelf space at the commission, getting the attention of the commissioners, and getting their ideas out of the I saw that on the enforcement side, we had in the division an examination program, which is now taken out in front of the office of the examination. That was by Sue Madison. We were frequently critical of the enforcement understanding and efforts that were devoted by regional offices or even by home offices to investment management ideas and needs. On the certainly when I was in the division director and exposure was being used as a division of the original plans, but someone went in the road.
No, it was somebody named Tarrant.
There was certainly a feeling that was being
make it a more attractive place.
Correct.
But the way things work with the commission, the idea of that is generated much earlier. What are some numerous incidents occurred while you were there? If you can talk about it, some people will say it happened, but they can't talk about it, but maybe it was something that you can talk about.
I think it's pretty well. In the course of the investigation of IOS, we were searching for an offensive violation. And two things come to mind. One is could be something like, actually, one was the discovery one day that there were a number of investors in the market. And we wanted to get these people on the record and really nail this down about how to do this. Where Alan Gordon, the chief counsel of the division, was then at that point in charge of and he was a guest speaker at the Federal Bar Association Mutual Fund Center, which was the second year of European Business Prep, which was then being held in San Francisco. So Alan myself said, I'm going to share that I also appreciate the scope of the bar. This was done in San Francisco, but a little bit of the bar. And Alan Gordon had a similar appreciation. He said, that's great, I'll do it. So we ended up being traveling many, many more hours to get one of the and appreciate it. But Alan is a very, very careful person. And believed in being prepared. So before going, he did a telex, which will be communicated in connection with those things, to the U.S. Attorney. Telling him who he was, and then he was coming, kind of felt he needed, and in connection with interviewing, following 20 or 30 people, he eventually went in with their addresses. Something happened to the SEC's communication system, and copies of that telex said each one of the people named. So whereupon they, and these people were investors in whereupon they called Geneva and said, what is happening? Whereupon Geneva sent their clever U.S. lawyer, whose name was David Silver at the time, subsequently became the head of the Wall Street Bank, to Guam. David got to Guam before Alan, got the best room in the only hotel available, sat down, got the witnesses prepared, and really frustrated Alan very much. And that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that it was all finished. Alan came home somewhat rejected by my own experience, we're going to build for all these different powers. The other story, which is better in the position, involved Gary Cohen, a young lawyer in the division of Dean. He had searching for evidence in the offices of the subsidiary of IOS in the United States. He found nothing. Except for one document, it was a cable from Geneva, detailed instructions on how to destroy everything else. They destroyed everything else, but they left that cable. So when the commission did a lawsuit, they quoted this document. On a personal note, I have a funny story, which I think is involving much beloved man Cohen. I really thought it was great to be at the commission. I thought it was great to be a special counsel. I became an assistant director. I thought I didn't shoot for nothing. And when I was the equivalent of a police attorney department in Baltimore, I was really proud of myself. And he was the chairman. And Lyndon Johnson was the president. And Manny decided he system or the new justice system. So he wanted each of us, senior people, or each of his, I should say, his senior people, to have red telephones. You remember red telephones?
Yeah, I remember the red telephones.
So they would install in different offices. And I was hoping they would get down to the level of assistant director. I really wanted that. It was satisfying. And sure enough, one day, we went down to our head and I was down to your telephone numbers. People used to come to the office and ask, what is it? Say it's a direct line from the chairman, but it never, ever went for maybe a year, two. One night, the setting was perfect. Late, it was like 7 o'clock or so. And I was working on the office. shows us certain things. So I showed up. And that was it. Never any kids.
Well, all good things come to an end. So we finally decided that you would leave the commission.
Yes.
And to the extent you feel appropriate, give us some ideas of why that decision came
about. Well, this year was our decision was purely money. It's through circumstances. Didn't motivate me at all. And when I started to go into the search, it was purely that my frozen debt was $37,500 3 years. We had moved from one house to another, which we kept the financial planning, and we handled the renewable expense of the house, mortgage, my salary. I really didn't want to give it up. That's fair. And one of the reasons why I think I was reasonably successful in the beginning was I enjoyed being a division director, and I wanted to continue being a division director even after I left the commission. So I started to function as a practice in the beginning as if I was still a division director. And but I was quickly brought down to earth. About, this had been no more than 3 weeks after I left. And I called my successor, Andy Jones. You're there for a brief moment in time. But when you're there, it's a great institution. For all those who hear this tape over the next 300 years or so, I hope you will preserve this institution. The great music that's over there.
Well, thank you, Al, unless you have something.